Electric Cooperative.
302 coming up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class in KGYM. We talk Major League Baseball, and we'll dive into that with Joe Sheehan coming up in just a little bit. Take a look at what's happening in Des Moines at the state soccer tournament. See what's happening at Vet Stadium with Division III College Baseball World Series action. The Big Ten with news today, and a whole lot more. It's all coming up on the Gym Class for this Tuesday here on KGYM. And once again, brought to you by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and C Avenue Northeast in Cedar Rapids, the presenting sponsor of the Gym Class program. We come your way on the Gym Class through the 3 o'clock hour here on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, Kyle Mann, our producer here today. Thank you for joining us. We do appreciate it. Partly sunny, humid afternoon that we have across eastern Iowa. We welcome you in on 1600 AM, the main gym, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, South Gym in Iowa City. Also, KGYMradio.com and the KGYM radio app. Whichever way you have been listening to us, we do appreciate it. Good show coming up. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball with you. The draft continues. So far, one Iowan selected. That was last night. And we will get to that. Some news out of the Big Ten, as we mentioned, as well for you to take in here today. And good afternoon. We also have a $30 gift card to Austed's Golf Cedar Rapids to give away before 4 o'clock today. And we'll have one tomorrow as well when we welcome Brian Haas to studio for our latest edition of Caddy Smack. Looking forward to that tomorrow.
Yep, they're in the seventh round of the MLB draft right now. And one Iowan taken, as you mentioned. He from DeWitt, Iowa.
University of Missouri.
T.J. Sikkema.
Yep.
Left-handed pitcher, who I said yesterday looked really tough on the mound to me. He's going to the Yankees.
Going to go to the Yankees, so he'll do well. We know that. So far, I think he's still the only Iowan that has been selected. High school, college, what have you. I might be wrong in that. I've been looking throughout the day, and I don't think I have seen one.
I'll check on it.
All right, you check on that. What's my favorite part of the draft, though? My favorite part of the draft is
a team. The end of it?
No. a team makes a selection, and then you get grainy footage of the said guy taking batting practice, because this is, I guess, whatever. I don't know. It's a thing. These guys aren't even going to play on the team if they get to the major leagues because they'll be traded, etc. It's a different draft than the football draft and the basketball draft.
It's certainly so much different because we're not going to see any of these players for what, 3, 4, 5 years?
Most of them, yes.
At a minimum.
Unless they're a savant as far as baseball is concerned.
The only thing... is that Cedar Rapids, much like many other cities across the country, have a minor league baseball team. And they very well could see some of these players, if not this year, next year. So in that respect, plenty of people follow it from that standpoint. But I don't get too excited about it because I know these players aren't going to contribute, if at all, for a few years.
Now, the first round guys have a much better shot, obviously, than a guy in the 25th round. That will, and they do go deep as far as the baseball draft is concerned. It's a deep draft, not as deep as the days when Mike Socha was taken way down the line and made himself a name as far as Major League Baseball history is concerned. But they dive in. There's a lot of guys that are taken as far as the Major League Baseball draft is concerned. Your thoughts? Welcome 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is Hertina Stocker Jewelers. Text line, Hertina Stocker Jewelers, located on the Ped Mall in Iowa City. Big news out of the Big Ten today. The conference, the league, has selected its successor to Jim Delaney, the ultra-successful commissioner. I think we can say ultra successful commissioner of the Big Ten.
I think so.
Who will be leaving in the next couple of months. And very impressive, gentlemen, that the Big Ten has named to replace Jim Delaney. And tell us about him.
Yeah, Kevin Warren is your commissioner in waiting. He will take over officially in September. Delaney's going to stay on until January, so there will be a 3 or 4 month transition period from Delaney to Warren. But I watched the news conference today, Scott, and I...
Kevin Warwick. Oh, you're right, Warren. They had it spelled differently in two different places. I'm sorry, go ahead. Kevin Warren.
No worries.
Fake news again. That's two days in a row they've gotten me.
I did not know who Kevin Warren was until today. And I came away after listening to his remarks and the ensuing interviews, fully impressed. I mean, this is a guy with a terrific resume. He's got enormous energy, terrific communication skills. He's passionate about what he does. He's been in the NFL for the last two decades, but... Plus, he's, in listening to him, I didn't even think about it, but he's going to be the first African-American commissioner among the Power Five conferences, which is kind of immaterial to me. This guy has so much going. He's respectful. He seems tough. He's worked in compliance. Just check all the boxes to me, but not knowing what's on the horizon in the Big Ten and across college sports. You don't know what he's going to encounter, whether it's further expansion, paying players, what have you. But this guy's got my vote right now, Kevin Warren.
There are a lot of things, like you mentioned, just some of them on the tip of the iceberg as far as what Power Five leagues are going to be looking at over the next, well, really, the next decade plus, I think. And the biggest question is, in my mind, two of them. Number one is paying the athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I still think I'm not really on board with that as far as just straight paying them. Now, as far as using their likenesses, etc., and getting some of that pie, yeah, I don't think that's a bad deal, but we'll see how that plays out and how you can differentiate that. It's going to be tough. The other thing is how the Power Five leagues are going to differentiate themselves from the rest of college athletics. I think that's another of the big stories that'll be coming up in the next 10 to 15 years or so. Will the Power Five teams, will they go away from the rest of and come up with their own system as far as what they do with money, postseason, etc.? Because the gap's getting wider between the Louisiana Monroes, the Campbells, etc., and the Dukes and the Kentuckys out there.
You know, you and I have only known two commissioners of the Big Ten in our lifetime, and that's Wayne Duke and Jim Delaney, and now Kevin Warren. He's only the sixth commissioner in the 124 five-year history of the Big Ten. That's pretty remarkable. But Delaney's legacy is going to be remembered very favorably, I think. 1989, he took over for Wayne Duke and did so many things. And in fact, that's the subject of our poll question today at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. How will you remember outgoing Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney?
I see I have a typo on there,
yes,
too.
Yes, you do. I was going to bring
Kyle, fix that.
Bring that up to you during the break. What will you remember the most about Delaney's tenure? Would it be creating a Big Ten network, a Big Ten expansion, making the Big Ten the most profitable league in America, or all of the above? You actually have two typos in there, Scott. We'll talk about
that. I did it quickly. I'm sorry.
Go ahead and vote. KGYMRadio.com, and thanks to Emil's, as always, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, next to Home Depot, and behind Taco Johns.
Where's the other one? I haven't spotted it as of yet.
But Delaney spelled wrong and profitable.
Okay. Well, see, I did this just ahead of the show, and yeah, I apologize. Kyle's going to get it taken care of. Don't...
Well, we don't cover things up on this show. We're transparent, right?
We are transparent, and I will never win the spelling bee.
You need to talk to me first, Scott.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We'll get it taken care of. We'll get it taken care of here. Lickety-split. That's not the main point here. How are you going to remember Jim Delaney?
Well, it's going to be the Big Ten Network, isn't it? I mean, that was either the first or second. I mean, now it's commonplace for conferences to have networks or fairly commonplace.
And the Big Ten was the first, and it was fledgling at the beginning. You remember back to the early days of the Big Ten Network?
Yeah.
There wasn't a paid ad to be found. It was basically all PSAs, public service announcements, and promotional announcements for the Big Ten Conference. And it was a big thing when the Big Ten Network finally had a paid advertiser on there. Still remember that. But I got to think now you've got the network, ACC Network, starting off this year. The SEC Network is there. Every one of these leagues now has their own network. Now, you know, the Pac-12 might still go through another system, but it's going to be changing over the next handful of years. There's no doubt about that.
Well, the programming has gotten so much better. Not only the live broadcasts, but the features, Big Ten and beyond, and among others, Campus Eats is one of my favorites.
Campus Eats is fun. I like that.
But the programming has improved so much that I think that's just broadened the Big Ten's footprint around the country, at least to those places in the country that have access to the Big Ten Network.
Your thoughts, welcome at 319-366-1600. What are you going to remember Jim Delaney for the most? Like us, creating the Big Ten Network, expansion of the Big Ten from 10 to 14, where it is now. Penn State, of course, starting everything, coming in. Nebraska making it 12, and then Maryland, along with Rutgers, coming in. By the way, with new Commissioner Warren, Rutgers and Maryland are not going away. Already seen that come up a few times. Already seen Warren is only doing this so he can become the successor to Roger Goodell of the NFL in the commissionership there.
Warren, former teammate of Fran McCaffrey's.
At Penn. They were both Quakers on the men's basketball team.
1981 or two, I believe. Yeah.
Sounds about right. 319-366-1600. You can answer our Emil's Hideaway poll question right there. Do have other news and notes to get to here today. We've got the Division III baseball tournament continuing at Veterans Memorial Stadium. And they are just starting game number two of the best of three between Birmingham Southern and Chapman. Chapman wins game one. 6-4. So it's pretty simple. If they win the game that is just underway now, they will be your national champion. If Birmingham Southern wins, they will come back tomorrow at 11 o'clock and play for all of all the marbles as far as Division III college baseball is concerned.
Yeah, Birmingham Southern suffering only its first loss in the tournament. And, now it gets down to pitching, doesn't it?
Yes.
There's no question about it.
And you either have depth at pitching or you don't have the depth of pitching. And quite frankly, these teams that are here have the pitching depth, mm-hmm. or they wouldn't be in this situation. But it still gets a little, I'm not telling you anything you don't know. There are a few gray hairs sprouting, I think, on the coaches when they send number five or number six out there.
Well, you know what? If they played Friday and that number one could come back today or tomorrow, and maybe he has.
And throw a little bit anyway. Mm-hmm. Maybe not a whole bunch out there. So that's going on, and we'll keep you updated on that. State soccer, usually done on Saturday, done on Tuesday this year because of all the rainy conditions that they had in Des Moines and central Iowa. Iowa City Regina, third straight state championship in Class 1A as Regina beats Waterloo Columbus 1-0. And that is the third in a row for the Regals. 8 out of the last 11 years, Regina has won the boys' state 1A soccer championship. So congratulations to them. 2A going on right now as we speak, and they are at half. And it is Council Bluffs Lewis Central leading the Xavier Saints 1-0 at halftime on a deflected kick from what I read from Douglas Miles, who's covering it for the Cedar Rapids Gazette. He tweeted that a little bit earlier on off a free kick off a hand pass. That's a lot of soccer
Not
terms.
Allowed in hockey, but...
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Or maybe it was.
It was allowed, but it didn't really make a difference at that point. Xavier with six shots, four on goal. Lewis Central with two shots on goal. So we shall see how it all plays out. Xavier, the number one seed. Lewis Central, the number three seed. West High of Iowa City will go for a championship later on against Waukee. Wash will play in the third place game coming up later on today as well from Des Moines. And then the girls get started on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. They take over.
And then we'll put a wrap on the spring season, right?
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
As baseball and softball are off and running right now. 3:18, you mentioned hand pass. Blues tied it up last night.
How about that?
Looked good out there. Ryan O'Reilly was a man possessed as St. Louis evens up the Stanley Cup final. You heard that here last night on KGYM. Two games apiece with Boston. We'll see if the terrific defenseman for the Bruins can come back after getting a hit on a, not even a deflected puck, a ramped puck that went off his stick and right into his face. That was a ugly situation last night. Has not been cleared for game five coming up yet on Thursday night in Boston, but we'll see how it all plays out. And but man, the Blues, they were aggressive last night. Ryan O'Reilly, as I mentioned, leading the way. Tarasenko with another goal. And got it going 43 seconds into the game with a wraparound goal by Ryan O'Reilly.
Yeah, that was a big bounce back after losing 7-2. I don't have to remind Alex Kuhn of that, that's for sure, from Saturday night. But, 2-2 now. It's still a tough road for St. Louis. But would you say doable?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Doable, absolutely doable. Not doable, you wouldn't be playing, right?
Yeah.
best of three now. It's going to go at least six as far as the Stanley Cup Finals series is concerned. They'll get around to playing game three of the NBA tomorrow night. And Kevin Durant has just been listed as out by Steve Kerr and the Golden State Warriors. But they are at home coming off a win on the road over Toronto. And we will see how that will all play out.
Clay Edwards is iffy too, isn't
yeah.
he?
Correct. And we'll have that game for you tomorrow night on 1600 AM along with 106.3 FM. Twins and the Indians for the first time since the opening series of the year tonight will join up at 7 o'clock on 107.5 FM, the North Gym. Twins can improve on their 11.5 game lead over the White Sox and the Indians with a win tonight.
Schmelzer going for the second time, the rookie for Minnesota. He was brilliant in his first start, six scoreless innings. And he gets the ball again tonight. And, 11.5 up could be even more. Yeah.
Well, depending on what the White Sox do against the Nats tonight,
true.
Too. Watch the Nats get healthy and get happy and and do some things. We'll see in the nation's capital this evening. We're going to talk to Joe Sheehan coming up about Major League Baseball here in just a couple minutes. We have that $30 gift card to Austad's Golf Cedar Rapids for one of our lucky listeners. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. Some college football news that we first heard in March. We'll get to that coming up after we talk with Joe as well. I should mention this, and it was interesting to see. I wish I would have known about this, though. Last night, the preeminent anthem singer in America, but one of them was in our fair city last night. Jim Cornelison, from Chicago, sings the anthem before Chicago Blackhawk games. Also for many, many other teams out there. Last 3 years has sang back home again in Indiana at the Indianapolis 500. Very, very strongly, certainly. He was at Kennedy last night, sang the national anthem before the Kennedy Jeff baseball game.
Mm-hmm.
And saw the video of it, belted it out like always. And that was just That was just cool. I'd have gone just to see the anthem last night.
Yeah, I think so, too. And why was he there? Well, he's a friend with one of the players' dads.
Yes, Mr. Bain.
From Kennedy. So, yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was.
Those two teams play again tonight at Jefferson, by the way.
Jim will not be there, I don't think, tonight.
No. Never
know. Never know how it plays out. But that was, I saw that on the Twitter timeline last night going, huh? What? Jim was here in town singing the anthem at Kennedy?
Pretty cool.
Okay. Had to listen to it and just to make sure that, okay, yeah, that just happened out there. So pretty cool thing.
366-1600, our phone, and Hertine and Stocker Jeweler text line.
If you were out there, let us know how good it was.
Well, 7091 wasn't out there, but this texter was in St. Louis. Said, fellas, on my way back from St. Louis right now, attended game 4, and it was electric. If they play the way they did last night, Blues in 6, # play Gloria.
Had to play Gloria last night a little bit. Can't do it right now, but had to do it last night. Breaking news, by the way, is that Zdeno Chara out for the rest of the Stanley Cup playoffs with a broken jaw, according to the Boston Bruins. So that is tough for them, very tough for them. And you hate to see that. I want to see him play because you want to win. You want to win the title going up against a team at full strength, and the Bruins are not going to be.
That's preferable, but
at top strength,
you can win it at any cost.
I'm not, if I'm the Blues, I'm not going to give it back if they are inclined to win this thing, but still, that's too bad. That's too bad. So Char will be out for the rest of the Stanley Cup final. That thing was vicious last night, too. But that's hockey. You get in front of those pucks going over 100 miles per hour, and you block them.
Mm-hmm.
And blocked it, but paid the price right there. Did come out, didn't play again, but did come out and sat on the bench to help support his teammates, give them a little bit of a mental edge, but will not be back for the rest of the Stanley
Cup. Did he have a mask on?
No. Came back with one. Had the helmet, but did not have, so I don't believe, had the wraparound mask.
That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
Yeah. We'll see. Maybe you will now. 319-366-1600. We're going to take a break. 325. We'll come back, and Joe Sheehan's going to join us to talk some Major League Baseball. Plenty to talk about, and we'll do it when we come back here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Before a lot of breweries knew the difference between a hop and a scotch, we were already creating our now classic beers. At Third Base Brewery, we've been refining our brews for over 20 years with perfection in every pour. And our all-your-favorites with a few surprises menu is just as tempting. That's why people always come back to gather at Third Base Brewery. After all, at Third Base, you're practically home. Stop in, Third Base Brewery, corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue in Cedar Rapids.
When you create some of the world's best windows and doors, you won't let just anyone sell them. You want window and door experts. That's why Marvin Windows and Doors are only sold at local, trusted, independent dealers, not big box stores. Marvin never compromises on quality, offering unparalleled value, energy efficiency, and expert craftsmanship.
At Alexander Lumber, we're proud to be a Marvin dealer. Visit us at 2802 Independence Road or at our Answers by Alexander showroom at 1534 South Gilbert Street, both in Iowa City.
Hear that? You're knocking on the front door of the new home you want to own. You might be close to making this big purchase, but just need a little help to get in the door. That's where the team of mortgage experts at Midwest One Bank can help. We support you so that you feel comfortable and empowered from open house to closing day. Simply put, we'll help you find your way home. It's empowered home ownership. It's Midwest One Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
There's one.
I see it.
Another.
See it. Didn't see that one.
Potholes are just waiting to damage your ride. If you hit one, it can mess up your alignment, shocks, struts, and suspension. So if your vehicle has a disagreement with a pothole, have Linder Tire take a look at it. They can make sure it's all right or fix any problems that annoying pothole caused. Linder Tire in Iowa City, North Liberty, and Grinnell. See them at LinderTire.com.
$30 gift card to Austin's Golf Cedar Rapids. That is up for grabs before 4 o'clock here today as we come your way on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. And we've got the Twins coming up later on tonight. Twins and the Cleveland Indians will join up at 7 o'clock. That will be on 107.5 FM. Major League Baseball draft continuing. What did you say they're, what round they're in now, Mark?
They're nearing the end of the seventh round. Okay. And still no other Iowa-related players taken.
Besides Mr.
Sycamore.
Sycamore in the last night in the first round. 38th, was that correct?
Right.
38th, the pitcher from DeWitt through the University of Missouri. Joe Sheehan joining us right now, joesheehan.com, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter, to talk a little Major League Baseball with us here on this Tuesday. Joe, you following the draft, I would imagine, with very closely today and last night, aren't you?
Being completely honest, no.
No? Mm-hmm. You're kind of like us then, right?
You know, I am not... there was a time we really thought that we could solve the draft by using data, by using stats. You go back to, you know, the book Moneyball, the through line of that book was using stats to identify talent. And there are teams that still use data to arrive at this. But to me, the draft is really still a scouting endeavor. So it's not really necessarily what I do. You know, my focus is actually on... I'm reading a book called The MVP Machine that comes out today by Ben Lindbergh and Travis Sawchuk, and kind of it's a very player-centric book, and I think it's interesting to read that at the same time of the draft, where the draft is this, let's go out and find the best players, and all of the energy in baseball now is how do we make the best players, and this book gets at some of that. So I have to be honest with you guys, I'm not a scout, I'm not a reporter in the draft. I mean, the draft is incredibly important. If you look at the last four champions, we've had this core of drafted talent that certainly in baseball, because of the way it's structured, they don't make a lot of money. And I would never dismiss the importance of the draft, but in terms of what a guy like me could contribute to the coverage of it, not a whole lot.
What's your latest on Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell now that the draft is underway and teams will not have to lose any or give up any compensation for those two guys? Several teams mentioned for both.
Yeah. Kimball, I think, is going to be a harder sign, but I look at Keuchel as a guy who could sign pretty quickly because I think he's going to be an easier sign because I think his projection is easier to make over the next few years. I think you can comfortably sign Dallas Keuchel to a 2 to 3 year deal and know you're going to get some value from him. I like his fit in New York. The Yankees are supposed to be in on him. If you look at what Keuchel does, throwing a lot of ground balls, pitching to that defense with DJ LeMahieu, Gleyber Torres, they're getting D.D. Gregorius back, Gio Urshela, that's a strong defensive infield, so that's a fit for him. The Braves are also in on him. The Braves have a lot of young pitching, but they could use somebody to kind of be that innings guy, that anchor at the front of the rotation, the other front of the rotation. With Kimbrel, guys, there are, 36, 37 bad bullpens out there so far this year? I think he can make a bullpen better. I mean, one of the problems with signing Kimbrel is that you're inserting him into that ninth inning role. He's the closer because he's the closer. And if you look at a lot of the strengths of teams, bullpens right now, it's these teams like the Rays who aren't committed to one guy in the ninth inning. They're playing matchups. They're using guys flexibly from the sixth to the ninth. We've seen Gabe Kapler do a lot of this in Philadelphia as well. So Kimbrel's market is to a certain extent limited to organizations and managers who are willing to commit the ninth inning to one guy. And let's face it, the last we saw Craig Kimbrel, he wasn't pitching very well. Definitely lost a tick on his velocity last year, lost two ticks on his command, was terrible in the postseason. And I think there's some question as to whether you're buying into the back end of his career now. So I think Keuchel is a safer buy and has a broader range of landing spots.
Is there a trend there, Joe, in terms of the closer position? Because I know I look at my Twins, and one night it's Taylor Rogers, the next night it's Blake Parker, it might be Trevor May. So what are your thoughts on that position?
I don't think it's a coincidence that the Twins have gone to this model under Rocco Baldelli, who came out of that Rays organization where they do things differently. This is something that stat heads have been advocating for, as myself have been advocating for a long time. The biggest moments of the game are quite often not with a three-run lead in the ninth inning. And for too long, managers have run their bullpen by the save rule, and then extending out from there while I have my ninth inning guy, my eighth inning guy, my seventh inning guy. And that's a fairly inflexible way to run a bullpen. There are better ways to get your best pitchers into the most important spots. And getting out of that save-centric model of running a bullpen gives the manager a lot more options, while also not necessarily, you know, turning the relievers just into, you know, push-button guys. You're not playing Stratomatic. But the idea that a pitcher can't go to work a half hour earlier has never set right with me. Guys, we always talk about the closers having to be mentally tough, right? I've never understood the idea that you have to be mentally tough enough to get the last three outs of the game, but you get all out of sorts if you get asked to go to work 45 minutes earlier. Mm. That's never made sense to me. I think it underestimates what these pitchers are actually capable of. And I think it also works best to talk about that Twins bullpen. Other than Parker, who's had some experience as a closer, it's largely young guys. It's easier to do this when you have a younger set of pitchers, an inexperienced set of pitchers, as opposed to saying to take Craig Kimball, hey, we might need you in the seventh time.
Well, I think you bring up a very important point, Joe, and that is if a team signs Kimbrel, he's going into the ninth inning and more than likely is going to displace somebody who's already in the ninth inning for one of these teams. And that could create a little bit of turmoil as far as the inner workings of a team is concerned. So I fully think teams have to take a look at that before they sign him.
Right. When you sign Dallas Keuchel, he's bumping your fifth starter, and who cares? If you sign Craig Kimbrel, you literally have to now structure your bullpen around having Craig Kimbrel. And that's okay. It limits. I would be surprised if a team like the Twins did that. I would be surprised if a team like the Rays, who have been rumored to be in on Kimbrel, unless Craig Kimbrel suddenly has decided it's fine, I don't care how you use me, which is not consistent with how he's talked in the past. I think there's a – like the Cubs. Joe Maddon, despite coming out of that Rays system and having a reputation as being kind of a sinker, he likes to have a ninth inning guy. He had it with Brandon Morrow last year. He had it with Wade Davis the year before that. I think the Cubs are kind of a natural landing spot for Kimbrel because of Madden's eagerness to have that one ninth inning guy.
You know, the Dodgers, Joe, are so good that Colorado won 9 of 10 and actually lost a half a game in the standings. How good is this team?
They're incredible. I mean, the starting pitching of late. Now, I've always said that the best starting pitcher in baseball was a left-handed starter on the Dodgers. I just had the wrong guy.
Yeah.
You know, Hyunjin Ryu has essentially stepped into the Clayton Kershaw role and become an ace for them. Rich Hill, who's he comes up in this book I just mentioned. He's had one of the great arcs over the last 10 years. He's essentially an ace for them. Walker Buehler last night, who struggled this year, particularly with his pitch mix, went out last night through 8 shutout innings. He was fantastic. So there's no soft touch in this bullpen. And this rotation. This is a team that has really had to manage around a lot of pitcher injuries the last few years, and they keep plugging in guys. They certainly got some bullpen issues. Kenley Jansen stepped down from where he was at his peak. They struggled to fill in that seventh and ninth inning role in front of him. But this year, the rotation has finally taken on a lot of that burden. They're not having to go to the bullpen in the fifth and the sixth as often as they did last year. And that starting pitching is really driving everything. This is also, guys, an amazing offensive team.
It is, and they are one of the three teams in Major League Baseball with a huge lead as we get into the month of June. You've got the Twins 11.5 up over two teams. The Astros are 9 up. Dodgers are 9.5 up. It's not insurmountable for somebody to come back, but it's going to be really tough for somebody to come back, even on June the 4th, to overcome those deficits.
Well, the Astros and the Dodgers are the two best teams in baseball, and there's really nobody in those divisions that we expected to challenge them. And it was funny, last year we said the same thing, and of course the Dodgers got off to a slow start. They ended up having to play a game playoff with the Rockies. The A's were tied with the Astros with about 6 weeks to go. But I think this year you'll see both those teams pretty much lap the field and be setting their playoff rotations by Labor Day. The Twins, obviously, I could have seen an 11.5 game lead in this division. I just thought the two top teams would be flipped. The Indians have been the most disappointing team in baseball. They have an incredibly disappointing winter. And when you go into a season with only like 7 good players and 3 of them get hurt, you're in a lot of trouble. So incredibly important series this week. I mean, you hate to say an early June series is that important, but the Twins play 3 at Progressive Field in Cleveland. And you almost feel like the Indians have to at least make up some ground. Even 2 out of 3, at least, okay, that's some forward momentum. You're not losing ground. But at some point, you've got to make up some games on this Twins team or it's just going to get too late.
White Sox fans like Scott believe 2020 may be the year. Do you believe it?
I changed my answer on this a few times, guys, which means I'm going to be right no matter what. A couple of years ago, I pointed to 2020 and said, 2019 is the year where you kind of surprise, maybe be a wild card contender, and then 2020 is the year you expect to be good. And when I, with the injuries to Kopech, to Dunning, with Giolito not really developing, with Moncada kind of stalling last year, and the terrible offseason they have where they just didn't do anything, I really pushed the whole window back a year. And now, you know, you look at this year, Moncada took a step forward, Anderson's taking a step forward. Obviously, Lucas Giolito is one of the best stories in baseball right now. I think some of this is still, they determine their own fate. If they go out this winter and spend like a team in Chicago should and sign an Anthony Rendon or sign a Gerrit Cole or sign both of them, spend some of Jerry Reinsdorf's money, I think you can kind of look and say, okay, maybe 2020 is the year where they can threaten, particularly in what is a weak division. But if they take another winter off and they pretend that signing John Jay and James McCann is actually doing something or trading Ivan Nova is doing something, I think at that point you say, hey, look, what are you doing? You made all of these great trades. You built up a great farm system essentially only through trades. And now that that core is ready to contend, you've got to now go out, spend some money, put some five-win players around it. So I guess my answer would be I want to see if the White Sox take themselves seriously before I take them seriously.
Hmm. I mean, John Jay's just been a rumor so far, by
the way. McCann's been okay, though.
McCann's been terrific.
Yeah. Right. But I mean, that's the kind of thing that you want to do. If you already have a 90-win team, it's great to go out and fill in with guys like James McCann. But if you have a 70-win team, you got to go out and do better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Joe Sheehan joining us here at 3:39 on the Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. National League Central, let's get into that a little bit. The Brewers have jumped into first place by a game over the Cubs. And then the Cardinals, despite all the warts and not playing very good baseball, still only three games out. The entire division's within 6.5 games right now. Reds are not a bad baseball team. The Pirates minus 68 in run differential, but only 200/500. It's a very intriguing division as we get into June.
It's fascinating, and I think you'll see the Pirates kind of play closer to their run differential. If you look at their underlying numbers, guys, they're just not a very good baseball team, especially relative to the rest of that division. I expect them to fall into last pretty quickly. The Reds will move up into fourth. I'm not sure the Reds. It's just an amazing year for them. They developed all of this pitching, and now suddenly they can't hit. But even if things work out for them, they're a step behind those top three teams. And it feels like those top three teams just keep handing off first place to each other. When you think about all of the head-to-head games, and we saw this weekend the Cardinals sweeping the Cubs in St. Louis to get to put themselves back in position. These three teams probably aren't going to be separated by too much. And it comes down to things like, okay, Jimmy Nelson comes off the disabled list this week. How does he pitch for the Brewers? Do the Cubs get Brandon Morrow back? What are the Cardinals going to do with a healthy Carlos Martinez and eventually a healthy Alex Reyes? There are so many unknowns with these teams that when they're packed that close together, those unknowns could determine the fate of the division. You've also got questions like, you know, who's going to trade for a guy at the deadline? Will any of these teams sign a Kimbrel or Keuchel and get, you know, some great performance out of them? So it's very hard to separate these teams right now. I think the Cubs have the most talent, but the three of them are close enough that – you know, I had the Cubs winning division. I'll obviously stick with that. But I don't think you can be surprised with those three teams finishing in any order this year.
How about the Brewers' decision to option out Castanheira at this point anyway? Doing pretty well with the Brewers. We know why he's back down, but what do you think about him?
I don't know. I think you look at the slash numbers. They were good. He was hitting he had a 500 slugging. He had like a 900 OPS. He's been pretty shaky defensively. And mind you, this is a team that's played Travis Shaw and Mike Moustakas at second base. So it takes a little something to say that. And if you look at the underlying numbers, guys, 23 strikeouts and three walks. I think you can make a reasonable case that maybe he's ready for the majors, but the slash line was probably going to come down as the strikeout rate begins to eat its performance. I know a lot of people were upset about this move yesterday, but when you look at the Brewers roster, how many pitchers they forced themselves to carry, which is a global baseball problem, not just a Brewers problem. The desire to kind of maybe hold on to Shaw and Eric Thames a bit longer, try to figure out who's going to stay on the roster long term. I actually understand the demotion. I understand the frustration over it because the numbers look really good. But you know, I think the Brewers can bring back Shaw, see if he hits, see if Thames hits, and figure out what this problem looks like over the next 6 weeks before the trade deadline.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that is going to play out. It's going to be fun in the National League Central, I think, until the very end. Cardinals and the Brewers have played a bunch of games early, so they're not going to see each other a whole lot in the second half. So that may play into it a little bit more. Hey, Joe, appreciate it as always. Thanks for the insight, and we will talk to you soon.
Thanks, fellas. Take care.
Joe Sheehan joining us. Talks of Major League Baseball, the Joe Sheehan Baseball Newsletter. Pick it up. And does a great job covering things, all things baseball. All right, we will take a break, come back. As we head to break, going to give you an opportunity to think some golf here. We got a $30 gift card to Austed's Golf Cedar Rapids for one of our listeners to pick up here today. Thanks to the good folks at Austed's. And stop on by, say hi to Brian over there. They've got all of the latest stuff for you. With Titleist, Ping, Callaway, TaylorMade, and more, golf apparel, shoe selection, what have you. Custom club fitting as well. Caller 6-319-366-1600. That's 319-366-1600. You're going to pick up that $30 gift card. Back with more after this.
They will come.
You don't always notice the things that need to be remodeled or repaired, but your guests do. Keep everything welcoming and looking sharp with Jackson Remodeling and Repair. Drywall, painting, general carpentry, kitchens, countertops, and alterations, and remodeling to business properties. The owners at Jackson Remodeling and Repair personally visit each job site to make sure things are staying on schedule and meeting your expectations.
Go the distance.
See their work and get in touch at jacksonremodel.com.
No matter what kind of day you're having, make it better at Mulligan's. Stop in with your friends for happy hour every Monday through Friday from 3 to 6. Take a break with their lunch specials. And when Iowa gifts us with great weather, take advantage of it on their big outdoor patio. Don't miss live music at Mulligan's, too. Keep an eye on their Facebook page to see who's performing next. Mulligan's Pub, 1060 Old Marion Road Northeast in Cedar Rapids. At Mulligan's, you always get a shot at a better day.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our free AutoZone Fix Finder service. If your check engine light is on, our Fix Finder service will help troubleshoot the likely issue. And if you want a repair shop to help with the job, we know some of the best ones around. Getting the job done just got easier. Let us help you at more than 5,600 locations nationwide. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks, but for up to 50% less than those big carriers charge. For the exact same high-speed networks, it's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
A Sport Clips Championship haircut experience makes you feel like your hair has its own walk-up music. Maybe you play sports. Maybe you play sports online. Or maybe your sport is keeping up with your kids. Your hair deserves its own walk-up music. And at Sport Clips, we make it easy. A game-changing cut from a stylist trained for guys while you're surrounded by sports. Hair this good needs no introduction, but you'll want one anyway. So download the app, check in, and get your hair in the game.
At $50,000, vehicle 55, vehicle 5.
At Mecum Collector Car Auctions, you've got to think fast and know your numbers, year, mileage, and 303 speed detailer. 303 cleans, shines, and protects instantly. We need every car's finish looking its best to command the highest bid. I use 303 speed detailer at home, too, to keep my car's finish looking new and lasting longer. Powerful UV blockers help prevent cracking and fading, and it's great for use between washes. 303 speed detailer, available at AutoZone.
Last call, sold.
Congratulations going out to Mason in Marion. That kind of rolls off the tongue right there. Mason in Marion.
It's called an alliteration.
The alliteration, mm-hmm. Thank you. I know the. We will get to the misspelling in the poll question here in just a little bit. please be patient with us. Got it up quickly and before the show got going. And
we're all good. We're all good.
I know there's a couple of typos in there, and we'll get to it.
Well, we talked about the Big Ten having a new commissioner. Vote on our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. How will you remember Big Ten Commissioner Jim Delaney the most? Would be creating the Big Ten Network, Big Ten expansion, making the Big Ten the most profitable league in America, or all of the above? Go ahead and vote.
Yep, KGYMradio.com. Coming up tomorrow, Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Looking forward to that, having Brian in the studio and answering your questions out there as far as your golf game is concerned. So that'll be on the Wednesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. So get them ready to go. I'm doing it in person.
What are you doing tonight?
Yeah, we're doing that. All right. This news, not only the Big Ten today with Mr. Warren being introduced as a new commissioner of the Big Ten Conference from the Minnesota Vikings, but we knew most of this back in March. They just kind of put a bow on all the bowl tie-ins. That will be starting up in this 2019 bowl cycle, 2019-2020 bowl cycle, I guess it is. And this will run through, what, the 25 season. Interesting. A few games have changed. Obviously, the Rose Bowl, that's still going to be in with the Big Ten. The Cap 1 Bowl, Cap 1 Orange Bowl, I should say. In there in Miami, the Big Ten will be in that for most of the period. Citrus Bowl in Orlando, the same thing. Outback Bowl, Iowa was just there. I was there a lot as far as Tampa is concerned. New to the Big Ten, though, Las Vegas Bowl. Going to have it in the brand new Raiders Stadium in Las Vegas. And apparently the bowl standing is going to go up in a big way. The money output, et cetera, and the Big Ten and Jim Delaney. Yet another thing that Jim Delaney did well, jumped on that bowl right away. And used to be the Pac-12 versus the Mountain West champion, because that was the Boise Bowl every year.
Mm-hmm.
You still may get Boise if you're a Big Ten school, but we'll see how that plays out. But the Big Ten's going to be tied in with the Las Vegas Bowl. Still going to be tied in with the Music City Bowl in Nashville. Everybody's favorite, the Pinstripe Bowl in the Bronx. But new, well, Red Box Bowl in Santa Clara and the Quick Lane Bowl in Detroit, also in there. New bowls, though. Charlotte, the Belk Bowl is going to be in with the Big Ten now. And the Cheez-It Bowl in Phoenix, which is Big Ten versus Big 12. So already you have a portion of the society out there clamoring for Iowa-Iowa State part two of some select some year between 2019 and 2025. Probably not going to happen, even if both teams are 7-5 or 8-4 or whatever the case may be. College football just doesn't usually look favorably on rivalry rematches in the bowl season.
Two takeaways from this, really, for me. The Las Vegas Bowl moving up in terms of status. In my mind, Big Ten teams will only be there three times every 6 years.
Correct.
But still, moving up in the pecking order, gone are the Holiday and Gator Bowls, at least
for
now.
Yeah, the Holiday, man. I thought for sure that Iowa, over the last several years, was going to get to the Holiday Bowl one more time. And now it looks like it's not going to happen through 2025 at least.
Well, I'd rather keep the Holiday Bowl and Pinstripe Bowl.
Well, they're not on the same level, though, Mark. They're on different levels as far as the pecking order is concerned.
And weather-wise.
And very much so as far as the weather is concerned. You can't have every good bowl, I guess, if you're Jim Delaney, although Lord knows he's probably tried to collect every one of those. But Charlotte's going to be, I think, a decent destination for the Big Ten. And that would be, what, is that one of the three out of six as well? Or is that a yearly thing with the Belk Bowl?
Belk is three times every 6 years.
Okay. Yeah. And I think it's going to be good to be in Charlotte for the Big Ten. I don't see much as far as Big Ten in that area. That's ACC country and SEC country, especially ACC, about that. You mentioned the Pinstripe Bowl will not be the Big Ten versus the ACC anymore. The ACC has gotten out of that particular bowl, led by Miami, I think, who had
shivering from the
experience. Absolutely no qualms about the fact they didn't want to be there last year to play Wisconsin at Yankee Stadium in that bowl game. Didn't want to be there, and it showed they didn't want to be there. So a few changes. That is now official, and the bow on that, like we said, it came out most of that in March, but now we know.
I think it's interesting the Big Ten's going back to Phoenix for the first time in 5 or 6 years. That's the Cheez-It Bowl, by the way, at least for now. But
2025, it'll be something else.
We know how many transplanted Iowans are down there and transplanted Big Ten fans are down there. So, and it's a great destination as well.
Which you would think they'd like to get Iowa and Iowa State down there at least once. One of those teams, anyway, if they would oblige a little bit. So we'll see how that plays out. Also, we mentioned yesterday that the College Football Hall of Fame came out with their ballots, and three Hawkeyes were among the folks in there. Carl Boyd is still on there for UNI as far as the divisional part of the Hall of Fame is concerned. But it's interesting. A lot of folks came out with the story about who's not in the Hall of Fame, the College Football Hall of Fame. Very interesting. Some of the names out there, you would think that would be just slam dunk to get into the College Football Hall of Fame. Guys like, now keep in mind, they don't have to be great pros, Mark. This is the College Football Hall of Fame. Rashawn Salaam, Heisman Trophy winner out of Colorado, not in the College Football Hall of Fame. Carson Palmer, not yet in the College Football Hall of Fame. Jerome Brown, the late Jerome Brown out of Miami, not in there yet. Eric Dickerson is not in. Now, does that have something to do with the fact that he has a price tag on him?
Well, I think there's something in the description of getting into the Hall of Fame about your character or off the field.
Wasn't his fault that he took the money. Character. Family needed the money. Eric got a Camaro and money out of it, if you recall back to the 30 for 30 about SMU and going on the death penalty back then. Some of the other folks, Keith Byers. Does that surprise you?
A good running back out of Ohio State.
Tim Couch, the terrific quarterback out of Kentucky, not in there. Steve McNair, Air McNair, not in there. As far as the College Football Hall of Fame is concerned, Leslie O'Neal, the defensive end out of Oklahoma State, San Diego Charger in the pros, Jumbo Elliott, two-time All-American, one of the first 300-pound offensive linemen. He's not in there as well. So kind of interesting to see the people that are not in the College Football Hall of Fame right now. And that class will be introduced coming up here in the next couple months or so. 319-366-1600.
Back to the MLB draft. They're in the early stages of the eighth round, and still only one Iowan selected.
Okay. Very good. We'll have Caddy Smack coming your way tomorrow right here on the KGYM Gym Class. And Brian Haas, as I mentioned, will join us in studio. Need to take one final break. We'll come back, and we will wrap things up as far as the Gym Class is concerned. Look ahead to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn as well. Stay tuned. More to come after this.
When it comes to the playoffs, coverage is everything. The same applies to the wireless game. With Straight Talk Wireless, you get full nationwide coverage on America's large for the exact same high-speed networks. It's like getting full-court coverage at half-court prices. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month, only at Walmart. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com.
The weather's heating up, which means it's the perfect time to get that next job done. At AutoZone, we have the free services you need to do it right. Like our AutoZone Rewards program. Sign up is free, and you get a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. Looking to protect your engine and start that oil change? Get 5 quarts of Castrol GTX High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for just $26.99. With more than 5,600 locations nationwide, getting the job done just got easier. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone,
AutoZone. Not a big summer guy. Too hot. Not a big winter guy either. Too cold. My favorite season? Safety season. Because it's every season. 24/7, 365. For all things safety, I trust Grainger. Grainger's safety experts have the safety solutions and expertise to help keep your facility safe and your people safer all year long. Seasons may change, but Grainger's always got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by for all things safety. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Copays, codes, coupons. Searching for savings on prescriptions is so complex, it's like you need a doctorate degree. Fortunately, CVS Pharmacy employs thousands who have one, our pharmacists. Plus, we built a proprietary search tool to help them find you savings on prescriptions. You don't need to know all of that complicated stuff. You just need to know someone who does. Your friendly doctor of pharmacy at your local CVS. Savings vary. Not all patients eligible for savings. Ask pharmacist for details.
Back with you in the gym class to wrap things up for the Tuesday edition of the show. Again, if you missed it, state boys soccer. Regina wins her third straight 1A state championship, 8 out of the last 11 years as they topped Waterloo Columbus. Right now, it's getting late, less than 20 minutes remaining in the match, and Lewis Central leading Xavier 1-0 in the 2A championship. Iowa City West and Waukee will play later on in the 3A state championship game, and then it'll be Washington in the Concy coming up as well around 4:30 here, about 20 minutes or so away. So we got you updated on what's happening there. Also, Chapman and Birmingham Southern, no score in the third inning. If Chapman wins, they are the Division III baseball champions.
Lunchbox Heroes, brought to you by Built by Pros, resumes tomorrow. Todd, Alex, and the gang will be down in Iowa City at the Pedmall Project. And we will be back in action, Scott and myself. We'll join the crew next Wednesday, I believe.
Yep. Week from Wednesday, and looking forward to that. Thanks to all the great sponsors led by Built by Pros, the presenting sponsor of the Lunchbox Heroes program right here on KGYM. Get your golf questions ready for tomorrow. We'll talk golf with Brian Haas on Caddy Smack. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 3.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM, KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids, Iowa City.